Training's been great. We've had a training ground, Graham, with the lads that have known a lot of game time and some outstanding performances in that, and it's carried on, and they've been bright and sharp this week, so we'll be everyone available for selection.
How good is it to have a healthy defence as well? Because there's been a couple of guys who've had injuries and illness in there, haven't they?
Well, it's probably Paul Warren was just saying, it's probably one of the few weeks of the season where we've had everyone contesting for selection. And we know there's people starting in front of people, and perhaps people might need some competitive action, etc. But just in terms of physically fit, to have everyone in your squad saying, hey, I'm available if selected, is fantastic, especially with, 17 games to go and a very difficult 17 games.
Can that be a difference maker? I mean, obviously, there's still a lot of football to play. You could pick up 5 injuries next week, but healthy teams who end the year with, you know, a big squad or a bigger squad as possible, to be able to keep people fresh, I mean, how important can that be?
Yeah, I think it keeps them on their toes as well, doesn't it? It keeps the performances at the top end, and as we all know, you know, it's a long season, 50-odd games in a season, and there'll always be highs and lows in those performances, and there really is nothing better than if a player goes into a little lull or his performance just dips slightly, that you've got someone of equal, sometimes more ability, and champing at the bit to come in and play, and we feel that's what we've got in the squad. So we've come at the transfer window in good shape, and we entered it in good shape, but if anything, we're certainly selection wise a lot stronger.
One of the things the fans will be a little bit concerned about this week is their last game, Colchester's, was called off right at the last minute. It's an awful long way for supporters to travel, and there's every chance that this might happen again with the weather forecast we've got here. Has the club had any contact with Colchester to sort of monitor this situation?
Yeah, I mean, I think they've got some covers down there. I think their chairman down there has invested in some covers, so they're telling us that the pitch is in outstanding condition under the covers, and they've got the covers on, which will be on till Saturday. So actually, for once at Colchester, despite it not being a good surface, and we won't see a good surface on Saturday, but I'm fairly confident to say that from what they're telling us, the game's almost certain to go ahead.
You want it to go ahead, don't you? You don't want to have to go there on a Tuesday night in the future.
We don't want any games off. You know, we want them on, and we want to face them head on, and we don't want to get to, you know, further important times in the season, because I think we've just about entered squeaky bum time. And as we found out last year, some squeaked and some delivered, and we delivered. So we knew that we're entering that time of the season. We want to make sure we're not on a backlog of games and, you know, worried about injuries or suspensions. It gets to an important part, because you're one game a week.
How sharp has Nicky Adams looked in training?
Well, the biggest compliment I can give Nicky on Monday in a training ground here, I don't use the word lightly, he was sensational at times. And but I think Nicky also knows that if he watched us on Saturday, when he watches a Garden Pringle, he's got to be sensational or he won't get a minute on the pitch. So he knows the level we expect. But to be fair to that kid, he was outstanding on Monday, and he's continued it and all the way through training all the week, where every day we have a different member of staff coming in and asking about how good his performance as well. But, you know, he's not alone in that department. You know, it was good to have a skipper back showing outstanding leadership and outstanding defending abilities on the pitch. And people like Michael O'Connor on Monday in that game looked more like the Michael O'Connor that we seen get recalled to the international squad. So we're going down to Colchester and players chomping at the bit to be in, and players in saying, why are you taking me out if they go out?
This is what you want, isn't it? Especially at this time of the year with so much to play for.
Yeah, very much so. You know, we worked so hard in the last 21 months to going from, I called it revolution when I came in, to completely blitzing it, and there's only 3 survived from our first game in terms of players, and we're going forward now. We're even, the infrastructure off the pitch is significantly better. You know, we have a lot of auxiliary staff who play a huge part here, a young analyst that plays a part. We've got Masu Sen. We've got a lot of people that's come into the football club creating the infrastructure that we're ready now to compete at the top end of this division, and perhaps, dare say it, compete to being the one above. But we have to earn the right to being that one above, and we know how difficult these playoffs are to get in. They're extremely difficult, and the competition is fierce.
Are you good enough to challenge the top two?
Well, we're good enough. You know, we've beaten Brentford and Brentford, and probably quite comfortably. And all bar the interference of a referee against Wolves, we beat them as well. So they don't frighten us, but they've obviously got a significant points advantage at this stage of the season. Is healthy from their point of view, but, you know, I think everyone in League One says that the way Brentford and Wolves and Leighton Orient have all been playing and their points accumulation, they have to be dipped somewhere, and we'll hopefully take advantage of that. But all we can really do is concentrate on ourselves. We've got a talented squad here. We've got a squad of very focused individuals. and it took us a long time, probably longer than we should have done, to remove the people that want to talk about being good players rather than delivering good players.
If you keep winning, I guess, you know, just see where you are in a month or two, the situation can change. And as the pressure builds at the top as well, you know, those teams who have been in those top two positions or challenging are going to find it, you know, they're going to find that a bit of a challenge as well to maintain that, aren't they?
Yeah, well, there's no pressure here. The pressure every day is to come in and work hard. That's the pressure you get placed on you as a footballer, and trying to improve and trying to embrace what we've got. And the minute you don't want to embrace that, as you know, what happens to you, you're bye-bye. So it's a tough ask to keep up in this playoff group with the competition we've got. But I keep saying it, but our chairman gives us every opportunity, doesn't he? We've turned down a number of offers for key players in the January window and before. We've been able to recruit Nicky right at the death, and what we think perhaps still in me a wee shout of breaking our transfer record in the weeks ahead that we just missed out on. So we're very focused, we know what we're doing, we just have to see it through.
Are you still monitoring that situation? Then obviously the loan window opens on Friday, doesn't it? Are you just sort of keeping your finger on the pulse in that situation?
Yeah, there'll be nothing for the weekend. You know, I think I've said it many times, gone are the days here that someone turns up, trains for half an hour, or don't train in some cases, and they play. You have to earn the right to be in this squad. But that's a young man that the chairman would have wrote a sizeable cheque for, and we would have brought a transfer card. And I've spoken to the manager concerned to see if there's still a possibility about maybe doing something on a loan, and he's said, well, let's give it a week or two from the window closes, and then we'll see where we are. So we monitor that, but it's also fair to say we're not monitoring anything else. We've got what we've got now, and unless we get injuries or suspensions or illness or something that goes wrong in the camp, we'll go with what we've got, and what we've got is very good.
TV cameras were at the Leyton Orient game. We all saw you with your feet up on the desk looking very relaxed before the Leyton Orient game. Was it good to get some recognition for this football club and what has happened here?
Well, the television cameras should have been here many times in the last 20 months, shouldn't they? From when the stadium opened, but for some reason we've not been the chosen one. And I don't know, perhaps there's a little bit green from envy with people at Select, or maybe they have I support different clubs. I don't know what the real reason is. Yeah, it's a stadium that's mostly near a full than empty, and it's a very passionate support that creates a dynamic atmosphere. It's got a playing surface that would grace the World Cup final, as we've seen it on television cameras last week. There's a number of games in South Yorkshire, never mind all over the place, called off, and we were watering our pitch at 20-3. And that's a huge, huge credit, not only to your ground staff, who have been most wonderful, but to your chairman, who spent a lot of money when he could have taken the easy option and just put some grass seed down.
You say that, you know, you perhaps felt you were due a bit of recognition there. Can you use the fact that you're not getting it as an incentive to just keep going? Can you ever use that to your advantage?
Well, you know, I've said to the players that recognition comes to those that are ultimately successful. And last year we were not given any recognition, were we? And people wrote us off and I think the season had gone another two Saturdays, we'd have finished as champions. And we look back, that's the tinge of regret from last season. We look back and think perhaps we should have been. And this season, you know, I think our form's been much better. Our performances have been much improved. And when we've lost games, it's normally we've dominated and we've been unfortunate. Last season we lost games because we were poor on certain days. So, you know, we'll just keep our feet on the ground. We'll keep people focused and we'll keep reminding people on a daily basis that it's what you do Monday to Saturday that gets you in the team, and not just what you do between 3 and 10 to 5.
Alex Revelle got a terrific goal to win you that game against Leyton Orient. And obviously it was a big week for him, wasn't it? Because he's in form, he's scoring goals. You've also had to reject an offer from Coventry for him. How substantial was that offer? And when he sticks that goal in, are you just sort of thinking, you know, thank goodness we were able to keep him here?
Well, Coventry would have loved to have had them, but I've said many times, there's not many clubs in our league. In fact, even some in the league above would love to have Alex Revelle. And he's been nothing short of fantastic for me as a player. He's a model professional. He's a young man that we enjoy working with on a daily basis. He wants to be at Rotherham United. His young family's settled in the area. And when he scores a goal, he celebrates in a fashion that you know what it means to him. So we tend to think that he's produced performances that's seen some strikers arrive in. They kind of deal with the competition from Alec Revelle, because he normally just runs over the top of them and earns the shot, and that's what you have to do here.
There's a story like that, you know, when it comes out that a club's bid for you, there's that water off a duck's back for someone like Alex, who's an experienced player, you know, has been around, he's had transfers in the past as well. you know, it didn't get into his head, did he? I mean, did you have a conversation about that move at all with him?
No, I think the reason you don't have conversations these days is the players know before you know as the manager,
right.
Because that's the way the mechanics and the wheels work in football, you know. And it's I think agents know before, you know, you talk to an agent, you see if his client would be available and what kind of money it would take, personal terms and stuff like that. So players tend to know before the club get an approach, but you know, literally they could have come in and offered what they'd have wanted to. It would have still been a no, and unless it became just outrageous, we were never going to sell a player in the January window. And the fortunate thing I have is being manager here and having earned the chairman's trust. You have to earn the chairman's trust and respect, and I think having earned it, he said to me a little while back that whatever offers come in, if you think they're not appropriate, just turn them down and keep me in the loop. And so I've obviously speak to him every day, so I've kept him in the loop every minute of every day, and we discuss everything. But he's left those decisions with me, and as the manager, I want to work with the best players.
Is that a big transfer window for you guys? You know, the fact they've been able to bring players in as you wanted to, but you've also been able to, I mean, it wasn't just Alex Ravel, you know, Carey Arneson, there was a bit of interest there at the end of the month. You know, will we look back on that and sort of say that was a significant month in this season?
Yeah, I don't think there's any secret. We could have sold Ravel, we could have sold Arneson, we could have sold Pringle 10 times over, we could have sold Kieran Agard, we could have sold Rob Muleson. So, you know, we could. The chairman's had significant cash offers placed in front of him, and every time he's looked at me, and if I'm being honest, we have just turned the look the other way, hoping that he don't give me the old sword over the shoulder. I think I'm getting knighted, and really what he said is, go and sell, you know. So we're very fortunate.
Looking at the game itself, what do you make of Colchester? They've had some great wins recently. They've also had a couple of inconsistent results as well. So, you know, what do you make of them?
I think when Joe's had his best players available, the results have come. And to be fair to Joe Dunn, he's a young manager that I have a lot of time and respect for. He works extremely hard, and I seem to travel up and down the country and, you know, going to the car park or coming out the lounge, there's Joe Dunn. So he's, as a young man that's been able to, by working that hard, put a good squad in place. And when they've got their best players on the pitch, they're a real handful. And I see he was in the recognition and nominations for the January Manager of the Month in League One, and you don't get in that unless your results have matched your performances, and they've done that. So it'll be a tough afternoon down there, I know that for sure.
I just wonder if there's ever an advantage for a team like yourselves that have played 6 games since the turn of the year and they've only played 3 because of all the postponements that they've had. You know, it's difficult, isn't it, because they're going to get a backlog of fixtures, but you guys are maybe just a little bit sharper because you have played more games recently.
Well, there's two ways to look at that. I think by having the 3 games, Joe was probably grateful because he got some injured players back without having the games coming thick and fast. And whereas we don't want any backlog of fixtures. We don't want to be having to play, you know, 5 games in 12 days and stuff like that towards the end of the season. So we're very mindful that certainly at home, and unless there's some different weather zones here we're not heard of, then we'll be on. And when we go away from home, we know we're not always going to have the best surfaces to play on, and we know it's going to be tough. But we're going to an informed team. You're right, we could take advantage of their lack of activity, but we'll face better players, so there's a balance.
Is it just a case of just keep this going now? You know, you've shown what you can do in various games this season, the Leyton Orient match being the latest example. Just keep this going and let's see what we can do.
Yeah, we've always said we've got 4-6 league games to play, and we have to come up with an accumulation of points that sees us 6th or above. And if we do that, we wouldn't fear anyone in the playoffs over 2 games. I genuinely believe that. I think any team can beat you on a God-given day, and especially in League One. And I think that's tough, but I don't think I'm going to watch the same team beat my team over 2 legs. I just don't think that's possible.
And looking too far ahead, but if you did get there, do you think teams would look at your squad? And I know there's other good teams in this division, but they wouldn't want to face Rotherham United in that kind of a situation.
Well, I don't think they'd want to face Rotherham United for a number of reasons. Our away leg, for example, would probably be the noise of a home leg, because we would take a fantastic travelling support who have just been fantastic behind the team. And I think last Saturday, and it'll be even stronger this Saturday, but last Saturday at one stage when the game's neck and neck at 1-1 with 10 minutes to go, you're looking behind you and I'm saying to Paul Ryan and to Warney, what options? Give me some options, guys. What are you thinking? Listen, they run out of options before I decided what to do, because there was that many options, because we had that many good options to change the team. And I think, if anything, we'll be even stronger this week when you consider the likes of skipper Craig Morgan is back in contention, and young Nicky Adams has come here to play a part.